Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure. As always, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'm glad you're here. Tom Travis is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Thomas G. Travis is managing partner of Sandler Travis & Rosenberg, which is a law firm that specializes in international trade, customs issues, and other issues along those lines. He's the guy that that helps companies like yours and mine do business overseas, making sure that we and our partners perform and everybody is happy and the money gets exchanged and that sort of thing, and our rights are protected. He does that too, and he's here to talk to us about a very important topic that I've been concerned about for a long time, and actually have been talking to you about for many years now. And that's the topic of protectionism. Tom Travis, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jim. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. Folks, Tom, as you know, Tom's been a member of our Brain Trust for a long time. Tom, whenever people have said to me in the past year or so, do you think we're headed towards some kind of a depression? I've had people ask that question, and you've heard it in the media. I've said, well, you know, I don't think so because I think we've learned some things from what got us into the last depression. The primary thing that got us into the last depression, which was the national protectionism in the United States. It came in the form of a bill called the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Bill in the 1930s. And I feel that protectionism, and the experts I talk to say, the protectionism did more to cause the Great Depression in the 1930s than anything else. But at this point in time, I'm hearing a lot of protectionist rhetoric around the world, and frankly, that scares me a little bit. Tom, what do you think?
Well, it scares all of us that believe that that lack of restrictions in terms of what government does, even globally, promotes growth and stimulus and can grow our businesses, grow our economy, and help our citizens. So it is a danger. What we've seen, though, is that in the 1930s, we did have a retaliatory protectionist tariff, which accelerated the bad effects of the Depression even further, and we're of course worried about that. But when countries are under pressure and voters and citizens are under pressure because they're losing massive jobs globally, what happens is that even the best of countries like ours, people say, well, let's put up slap some restrictions against foreign imports. So that we save, in this case, U.S. jobs. It's a natural reaction. But those restrictions impact other jobs on exports, and they impact all our neighbors. And what they end up doing is, as you mentioned, they accelerate the bad impact of the current conditions we're living under now. So we're seeing that. We saw it just the other day when the Treasury Secretary Geithner mentioned the revaluation of the Chinese currency,
right,
the RMB.
Right, he took them to the woodshed over that. That didn't work out well for us.
No, because the next day, the premier in China, speaking in an economic forum in Davos, Switzerland, blasted the U.S. for the lack of controls over the financial system and blamed the U.S. for the current recession worldwide.
And that just got kind of heated rhetoric. That kind of, folks, words have effects. I mean, the things that we say in these cases, I mean, that was very sophomoric for him. That was very ill-advised for Geithner to say that. And you know, there's also this Buy America thing that is circulating through Congress right now in association with a stimulus package. And that's, of course, that's a payback to the unions, which are the big Buy America sector in the United States. You know, even American companies, big American companies that we have here that we're so proud of, they're international companies. They're just based here now. We have a lot of international foreign companies that their headquarters are in other places, but they do a lot of business here. They build plants here. They have a lot of payroll here. They hire a lot of Americans. They create a lot of products for us here. In the 21st century, Tom, Buy American or any kind of protectionist activity is very dangerous.
It's very dangerous, but the fact of the matter is that America does produce first-class products. We do export them all over the world, and those workers and those companies are at risk if we raise barriers, and in retaliation, countries raise barriers against our products. Look, when their times are tough, people want to protect their own populations. The Chinese are, you know, they lost 20 million jobs in the recent current recession, and they are looking at different measures to boost their exports. And it's natural in these tough times that people look, well, why aren't we helping ourselves? What can we do to stimulate jobs here? The problem is with respect to Buy America provisions, which say that in the money that's going to be dispersed on the capital projects under the stimulus bill, that you can only buy, for instance, U.S. iron and steel, is the fact that countries will retaliate on us with respect to our international trade opportunities and our current operations, and that's not good for anybody. Most countries already have approved legislation and laws in effect which provide limited incentives for domestic industries on government contracts or security-type operations. Those have been approved. They're proper. And, in fact, the president did announce that he's not going to do anything that would impair those obligations. Mm-hmm. But we must be vigilant because the more barriers we raise to commerce, it will impact us further and will impact us negatively.
Well, it ripples through the global economy, and I'm afraid some of this stuff could happen at levels that don't always come to the headline level in our newspapers and on television. They could be behind the scenes types of little restrictions that are placed here and there that start out real small and finally build to the point where we're not doing business with our trading partners. And I keep coming back to something that Frederick Bastiat said 160 years ago, Tom, and the great French economist and also a pretty funny guy. But he said, when goods cross borders, armies don't. And I'll tell you, there's a peace dividend, in my opinion, to global trade that I think we don't value as much as we should. We come back, I'll get you to comment on that, and we'll talk some more about the specter of protectionism, ladies and gentlemen. We cannot let what happened in the 1930s happen again in the 21st century. That's a bigger problem, believe it or not, than almost anything else that we got right now. 20 after, right back with Tom Travis. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I built it for you. Got lots of stuff there that'll help you get motivated, help you with, if you got 15 seconds, you got 15 minutes, or anywhere in between, we've got something there that will help you. You can read, you can listen, you can do a lot of different things there. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog while you're there, and the archives, the articles, the Brain Trust members, on and on. A lot of little features there, like the Write This on a Rock right there on the homepage. That takes you about 4.5 seconds to read. So check that out, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Tom Travis has deposited a number of a lot of wisdom with us over the years as a member of our Brain Trust, managing partner at Sandler, Travis and Rosenberg, a law firm based out of Miami, right, Tom?
Yes, sir.
And but with worldwide operations as well. Tom, tell us a little bit about what your law firm does.
Our law firm helps all entrepreneurs doing business globally with respect to the movement of goods. How to move goods from one country to another. That's been our specialty for over 30 years, and we operate 6 countries and about 9 offices throughout the United States. And what I always try to do in my practice, Jim, and I know this is important to you, is no matter how many large companies I represent, I always actually personally represent still small entrepreneurs. A segment of my business and my practice is that. because I love the energy that's entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. There's nothing better for me to see a small company start to grow, especially when they start to cross borders. And most of the successes that begin are because of those small entrepreneurs. I call them big entrepreneurs.
Right. Well, yeah. We're so lovable and huggable, Tom. That's one of the reasons why you're so attracted to us.
Lovable and huggable, no, but you're determined. And that focus is unbelievable. Lovable, some of you are.
Give us a website, Tom.
I've seen small guys go become very, very large companies.
Yeah.
But, Jim, I want to turn to something you asked me about, the peace dividend.
I think, isn't that something that's not even on on most people's radar these days? And Bastiat said this 160 years ago. When goods cross borders, armies don't. Go ahead.
That is absolutely true, because we've seen this from the ancient Phoenicians to Marco Polo to modern-day people and vendors that came to America and Americans that go overseas in this century. What we've seen here is that trade is the best way for cultures to interact and people mm-hmm. to get to know each other. And when you start trading and you have an economic interest, you're exactly right. The armies don't cross borders. And we've seen that manifested into policy. There have been many examples in the United States of us concluding trade agreements or spurring trade opportunities to increase peace. And what's remarkable is we don't have to go back very far in history. In 1996, we sponsored legislation in the United States and passed legislation to encourage the Israelis and the Jordanians to do business.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, despite the differences that the Arab world has with the Israelis,
right.
under this particular rule, we created, through that legislation, opportunities where Israelis and Jordanians actually set up joint operations in Jordan
wow.
to do business. And what's even more remarkable than that, and I had this on tape.
And folks, if I don't know if you've noticed or not, but Jordan and Israel aren't fighting each other right now.
No, and we've extended that agreement to the Egyptians. But
yeah.
But a little known fact, and I even have it on tape, is that an Israeli official I once interviewed told me about the fact that one of these plants in Jordan, there was a daughter of a Hamas leader who was working in the plant. And her father absolutely told her, you must leave this job. You cannot work with anything. It's tainted. It's the Israelis
yeah.
are involved. And she said to her father, Father, come and see the plant before you make me leave it.
Hmm.
He walked into the plant. He looked around. He looked at his daughter, and he walked out and gave her approval to stay. Because
wow.
the women were empowered. They had jobs.
Mm-hmm.
The operation was run with modern ways. The workers were protected, they were paid,
right.
and
right.
that operation continued. Now, this little example is not going to solve these deep differences that we've got in the Mideast, but it shows you the power of business positively
yes.
when we reach across borders.
When you do business with somebody else, when an American sells something on eBay to somebody in Bangladesh or wherever, you know, when you get to know somebody like that, you don't hate people when you trade with them, and when you don't trade with them, it's easy to for different cultures to get things in their mind about the differences and to go the wrong way, and that's what Bastiat was talking about, and I commend you, I congratulate you, Tom, on that effort that successful effort that you made between the Jordanians and the Israelis. That's the kind of thing that we've got to do. And this Buy American attitude is not a good attitude, folks. I know it sounds good. It's one of those things that, yes, Buy American, it sounds patriotic. But, folks, in the 21st century, it's a loser of an attitude, isn't it, Tom?
It is. But we've got to recognize, and what we have to do is be sober about this. There are people hurting, not just in this country, in every country. And there are going to be stimuluses, and there's going to be certain actions taken to promote those industries.
Mm-hmm.
And that is proper, and that's the way that the government needs to respond. But what we have to do is not overreach and try to upset this global
yep.
trading system upon which all of us depend. Every day
mm-hmm.
we wake up, have a cup of coffee, have cream, get into our cars. All these things we do, get to work and work on a computer. Everything
yep.
we do has international stamped on it.
Tom, I got to wrap it up. Give us your website, please.
It's strtrade.com.
strtrade.com. You also have a consulting firm, too, don't you, in addition
Absolutely.
To the law firm?
Yep.
Hey, Tom, will you come back another day real soon?
It'd be my pleasure always, Jim. Best to you and your listeners.
Thanks, Tom. Tom Travis, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back. I will be, too, right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingham. Stay with me.
Since I don't have you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.